Before we get started, a special thank you is in order to our friends over at Stanley Customs. Stanley Customs creates amazing custom sports figurines for all you athletes out there. Right now, our listeners will get 15% off their order, and all interviewees will get 25% off their order simply by going to Stanley_Customs on Instagram and telling them that Globally Ballin sent you. Thank you. Hey, everyone, and thank you for joining us, and welcome back to the Globally Ballin podcast. We appreciate your support and have a special interview and episode for you today. So sit back, relax, and enjoy learning about sports and opportunities around the world. Here comes the music. I gotta let you go.
He goes, I'll give you $750,000 a year to sign with us.
Without right even now, showing off.
He goes, don't even walk over to the field.
Because I had no idea that my passport was even expired.
Let me tell you, I sent out 6,000 emails.
Gentlemen, how do you use a celebrity for good? You know, up until that point, most of us, as athletes, were taught how to use the celebrity to manipulate, to get a girl, to get famous, to get whatever it is.
Had a couple guys get robbed at gunpoint, and one of them was just like, Jay, get me out.
Actually broke my neck. I was paralyzed from the waist down, and I was never supposed to walk again, much less be able to play football again.
We're hours away from kind of the nearest hospital. He ended up losing his leg over it.
You finished the game with a broken hand?
Yeah, I finished the game.
I'm Rio 2016 silver medalist and Asian Games 2018 gold medalist.
I don't think a lot of people know the opportunities there are actually to play overseas, especially in the women's category.
There are some who would still keep their 9-to-5 jobs because the pay for being an athlete isn't enough.
Don't complain when we look like idiots abroad in these big tournaments.
What league or country gave you the best pay contract-wise?
Probably Turkey my last season.
Okay. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Globally Ballin podcast. After a week off, it's good to be back. It's good to get the show back up. Thank you for allowing us to have that little week break and take a break from the show just for a little bit to relax. We've been going at it constantly here for weeks, so it's nice to be able to take that week off. Anyway, we're back. Thank you for coming back. Thank you for joining us once again. For this week, for the episode this week, we're going to be looking at women's hockey in a different region. So first of all, we did look at hockey, and actually specifically it happened to have been women's hockey both times. Episode 19 is with Danielle Imperial, who is from the Philippines, lives in the Philippines, and talked about hockey. Specifically, she talked about her experiences with women's hockey in the Philippines, but she did break down kind of the whole world of hockey, men's and women's, in the Philippines in general. So that'll give you an idea. That was episode 19. One of the big things we kind of harped about on that is, how does hockey fit in a country where traditionally you wouldn't think it would fit? Right? The Philippines is a tropical country, 7,000 plus islands, beaches galore. It doesn't scream ice hockey to you. It doesn't scream ice hockey to me. And so that's kind of what we were breaking down, is what does it take for that country to develop that sport? Is it even possible? And what's holding them back? The other episode was episode 29 with Kayla Francesca. She was also from the Philippines and is also on the Philippines national team, but she's currently in Australia playing. So she was able to give a little bit of a different perspective on hockey. But going back to what I said with Danielle and why that episode was interesting and why we wanted to look at that again, being that the Philippines doesn't strike me or you or probably anyone as a country for ice hockey. And yet they're trying to grow it. What's it going to take to get it to the level in which they desire? Is it even possible? And what's currently holding them back? It's that what's currently holding them back that brings us to this episode. So like I said, for this episode, it's women's hockey. And specifically, we talk with Chloe Young. Chloe Young is an ambassador for Women's Hockey Life. And one of the goals she has and her aim is to inspire females in hockey from all over the world. Now, specifically, she's in Scotland. And so she will break down hockey and the opportunities, both men and women, but she will take it more of an angle of women's opportunities in Scotland and then the UK in general. And she'll also be able to talk about how the UK, both men and women's, does in world competitions when it comes to hockey. Why is it that they are where they are? Is there something holding them back? If it is, what is holding them back? And, you know, potential future growth that she and others see in Scotland and the UK in general when it comes to the future of hockey. So again, we're taking a look at a country where hockey is not number one. She's going to definitely speak on that, about what is and where hockey falls on that ladder. And you're going to see a lot of similarities between Scotland and UK in general and the Philippines episodes. And yet these two countries are very, 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 very different. Very different. And yet hockey still falls down on those lists for both of those countries. And so listen carefully to what Chloe says. And then I encourage you to go back to the episodes with specifically Danielle and see if what Chloe says is holding hockey back in Scotland is the same as what Danielle says. And for that matter, Kayla Francesca's episode too, because she does talk about that a little bit. But I encourage you, after getting through this episode, go and check those other two out. That's the Danielle Imperial episode, episode 19, and then the Kayla Francesca episode, which is episode 29, and see what similarities and differences you see when it comes to what's holding hockey back in these specific countries and regions. That being said, thank you to our guest Chloe Young for her time, and I hope you all enjoy the episode and interview. Thank you. This episode is also brought to you by our friends over at Creating Young Minds. Creating Young Minds is a nonprofit out of Louisville, Texas, brought to you by Dr. Shira Ackerman and Coach Mathis Crowder. Creating Young Minds strives to bring success to the lives of young men in ways in which they may have not reached that success otherwise. One of the ways in which they do this is through their professional basketball team, the Louisville Yellow Jackets, who play in TBL or the Basketball League. Make sure you go check out Creating Young Minds on all major platforms, including Facebook and LinkedIn. I encourage you to dive more into the mission of Creating Young Minds as they strive to bring the European model of basketball to the United States. Thank you. Okay, let's start off by having you introduce who you are and what it is that you do.
My name is Chloe Young. I'm 21 and I play ice hockey in Scotland.
Okay. So first off, do you play professional hockey or amateur or semi-pro?
I play amateur hockey.
Is there opportunity to play any of the other two for women in Scotland?
No. I think there is for men. Men can play in the Elite League, which is the EIHL. Right now, it's, I guess, the British equivalent of the NHL, or the closest we're going to get to it. The three main Scottish teams are the Glasgow Clan, Fife Flyers, and Dundee Stars. Sorry, I forgot there. But no women, to my knowledge, have ever played professionally in that league.
So you say that as if the league may be open to having women play in the league because there's no specific women league set aside right now. Is that true?
There is no professional women's league in Britain. You cannot play professionally, only amateur.
So do you think that professional league now that is a men's league would be open to women joining that league, or has it just never been asked, challenged, or what do you think the stance is on that?
I would say that there could be a chance that women could play, but in terms of keeping up with the men, the physicality of the game is that much different that I do not think they could play. I don't think they could keep up.
So you are an ambassador for women's hockey. What are the overarching opportunities for women to play hockey, even outside of Scotland, in maybe more your regional area of Western Europe? But in those areas, what are those opportunities for women to play hockey right now?
So right now, I play recreationally, which is like beer league. And that's with a local team, Ayrshire Amazons. They started because there was quite a few ladies locally in men's teams and they felt left out. So they created their own ladies team, which play beer league. But in England, they have the Women's Elite League, which is the top league. they have the Women's Premier League, and the bottom league is Division One, which is split into North and South. And the only Scottish team in that league is Solway Sharks. They play in Division One North. And that's the team I used to play with before I joined the Ayrshire Amazons. So for me, the travel was too much. So that's why I joined Ayrshire Amazons. There's also opportunities to trial for the Great Britain team and play for GB Women.
So those leagues that you just mentioned, the British ones and the British teams in those leagues, those are all professionally or completely amateur. There's no semi-pro element to that. People aren't getting any money whatsoever to play in those teams.
No, everything is self-funded.
Okay, well, let's take a broader look. We have, in the Winter Olympics, obviously we have men and women competing in the Winter Olympics. What about some of those neighboring countries in Europe, whether it's Ireland, Scotland, England, any of those countries make any sort of a appearance in the Winter Olympics or any of those international competitions for women's hockey?
Yeah, so GB women are actually on their, I think it's their Olympic bid, and they are going to, I think it's Korea.
Okay, so their appearance has been, their success has been at least notable?
No, they're going next year to Korea to apply for the Olympic bid. So they're hoping to join the Winter Olympics for 2022.
So the countries that have represented Europe for women's hockey, has it predominantly been some of those countries that tend to dominate in men's hockey as well? The Swedens, the Finlands, the...
Yeah, absolutely. So ice hockey here is quite a minority sport. It's people with money that play it. It's really an expensive sport. The most common sport here is like football or golf.
So you being an ambassador for the growth of women's hockey where you are, what's your reasonable and realistic goal for the near future? What do you strive to get women's hockey to? What level?
So for me, I just want to see the sport grow more and more. So I know there is professional teams in Canada and America, but ideally I would absolutely love to see the sport grow here in the UK and have professionally paid athletes in the UK.
So as far as, you know, you said it's not the most exposed sport, it's not the most popular sport in the UK. What kind of opportunities are there? Let's break it down to not even just playing, but finding a place to skate, finding a place to buy equipment. We've done episodes in the past in the Philippines, and that's a drastic difference when it comes to those sorts of end types of opportunities for hockey. There's one or two rinks in the entire country. There is no place to buy equipment. What are we looking at as far as hockey in the UK in that aspect?
Yeah, so I started when I was 8 years old with the local team. And in terms of league, it's the Scottish Ice Hockey Association. And there's about 10 teams in the league. And it's split up into age groups. So it starts at under 8s and it goes right up to under 20s. So I grew up playing with boys because obviously, again, women, it's a minority sport. So there's about 10 teams in that league, and actually my local rink was lucky enough to have a shop in it, so I got most of my equipment from there. But otherwise it's quite hard to pick up some stuff, so you would need to order stuff online, but then you risk the problem of ordering the wrong size.
So you were talking about how the popular sports that are in the UK right now, but you also kind of compare and contrast the fact that it's growing differently for men and for women. What are the popular sports for women in the UK the same as what the popular sports are for the men?
Well, I think in general, men's sports tend to be more viewed and more entertaining than women, just because physically men are stronger and fitter and in general just better than women. So I would say the football here is definitely much better than the hockey in terms of athletes are paid, athletes can get sponsorships to help support, they don't self-fund like ice hockey. they're getting sponsors from big brands and they don't pay for themselves, whereas hockey, it's all self-funded. Most athletes work 9-to-5 jobs and all their money goes towards their hockey.
So as far as in general in the UK, what are the most popular sports for women?
For women, it would probably be football and netball and golf.
And where down that line does hockey fall for women? How many spots down do you think hockey sits?
The bottom of the pile.
The bottom of the pile. So there's a lot of growth to go, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
What have you seen as tangible growth as far as women's hockey in the UK over the last couple of years?
Yeah, so obviously I was talking a bit about Great Britain women. So we have the Great Britain women, Great Britain men, Great Britain under-18s, Great Britain under-18s men, and Great Britain under-20s men. So recently for the women's game, there has been a new coaching squad, and they have started from the bottom, working with under-18 girls, and they're working, trying to get them fit and ready for the GB women. Ideally, if we get the Olympic bid, then we'll be part of the Olympics. But until then, it's really just competing in the IIHF World Championships.
Okay, so forgive me for a second on my lack of understanding, but when you're talking about getting the Olympic bid, who? Is it England? Is it Scotland? Is it Great Britain as a whole?
Yeah, it's Great Britain as a whole. So Great Britain is made up of England, Scotland, Wales, and Northern Ireland.
Mm-hmm. This is a little bit off top. Is this the only sport where they try to get a bid as Great Britain and not, because Scotland competes on their own, don't they, in other sports?
No. In the Commonwealth, yes, but not. Wait, actually, I'm not sure.
We can double check that, because I was just curious about that, and that came into my head. So, but at least to be clear, as far as fighting for the bid, it is Great Britain as a whole is fighting for that bid.
Yeah.
Okay. And so obviously they have a team set, correct? Do they have at least?
Yeah.
Okay. Where do most of these national players hail from? Is it mostly English players? Is it a couple from Wales? Do we have some from Scotland? What is the makeup of the team?
Yeah, so for the women, most of the players are from England, and I think it's due to the majority of women's teams are in England. There's only one Scottish team, Solway Sharks Ladies, and the team I'm in, Ayrshire Amazons, isn't like nowhere near as professional as the GB athletes.
Okay, so it's majority England, some Scotland, or very few Scotland, any from Wales?
Not that I can think of.
I think you can think of. So what does it entail to get the Olympic bid? What needs to happen? I know you said they're going to Korea to go compete, but what do they have to do specifically to get that bid?
I think it's playing in a tournament or something like that. I'm not entirely sure. I'm not actually on the GB squad, so.
Okay. It probably has something to do with placing, but let's take a more general view and step back here. If they do get that bid and they do then get the opportunity to play in either the 2024 or 2025, I don't know what they'll do for Winter Olympics, do get that opportunity to compete and play in the upcoming Winter Olympic Games, what do you see happening to hockey in Great Britain in general?
I would absolutely love to see the game grow. Obviously, the more exposure it gets on television, the more people will see it, the more people will become interested in it, want to try the sport. And I would just overall love to see the sport grow.
Do you think it'll be nothing but failed attempts to grow the sport if it doesn't ever get to the Olympics? Like if the women's team never makes it to the Olympics, do you think that trying to grow women's hockey in Great Britain is going to be a failed experiment through and through?
I would say no, because I can see it growing and growing right now. Like I'm saying there's only a few teams in Scotland, but we're already trying to develop that and start our own league.
So you do see, even if it doesn't make it to the Olympics, you at least see some sort of growth. But I think we can at least agree that Olympics should and historically has skyrocketed the growth of a league in a country, correct?
Yeah, it would be an amazing boost.
One thing that's always interests me is that a country that is either, or in this case, a couple of countries combined to make Great Britain, that's well populated, fairly advanced when compared to other countries and other regions. Yet some popular sports are still completely foreign in that country. What is it that has kept hockey from being so popular? Do you know?
I think it's how expensive it is. So obviously I'm saying football's popular. You don't really need any equipment for that. A pair of football boots and a ball. Ice hockey, you need the skates, the stick, the helmet, all the kit that keeps you protected. And of course the ice time. Ice time is very hard to get here because we share the ice with the figure skaters, the curlers, the speed skaters, the junior boys team. And then often women's hockey get the dregs. So it's like when late at night, 11:30 at night, 12 o'clock.
So money comes up, and money actually has come up before when we've asked that same question. So that doesn't surprise me that that is your answer. When it comes to, now you briefly mentioned it, you were talking about splitting the ice time, who gets what typically in what order. Do the women teams that are trying to get ice time, is it usually them are last as far as them getting time on the ice?
Yeah, so women's teams are often the last pick in terms of ice time. The priority goes to the junior teams.
Why is that?
Because it's not as popular.
And popular in what manner? Like the fact that people come and watch, or what manner of popularity?
A bit of both. Like the junior have more of a following, so more kids mean more money, mean more ice time, so they always have the upper hand because they can pay for the ice time, whereas women, there's less of us, so we need to pay more for the ice time. So let's say the juniors will get twice a week because there's more players, so there's more money coming in, but women can maybe only afford once a week because there's less of us, so it's more expensive.
Are any of these leagues, any of these teams at all bringing in finances when it comes to sponsorships?
So when I played with Solway Sharks, we were expected to find our own personal sponsorship, and it was £50, and it went towards the buses for away games. The buses were often about £500, and obviously because we were the only competing ladies team in Scotland, we had to play in the English league. So the personal sponsors were often kind of small local businesses, but it wasn't ever anything big, like bigger brands.
Okay, let's break it down popularity-wise just a little bit when it comes to the popularity of ice sports specifically. So now we're going to break it down to in Great Britain, you're splitting the ice time. We know that, you know, maybe the youth boys get it or something like that because of the money that's actually brought in. But let's go sport by sport. Where does hockey fall in popularity of ice sports?
Yeah, so I would probably say that hockey is up there with figure skating, and below that, speed skating and curling.
So as at least as far as ice sports go, they are towards the top, you would say, in Great Britain.
Yeah.
Let's see. I think that is everything. How about let's end here then, Chloe. What else do you think we need to add or discuss as far as maybe what you do or women's hockey in Great Britain or your job as an ambassador or what? Anything else you think we should add on?
I would probably like to highlight the fact that next year, GB under 18 women are actually hosting the IIHF World Championships in Dumfries.
And that is that's in Scotland?
Yeah, so it's going to be a home tournament for Great Britain.
And let's think about that for a second. When you have those tournaments and those games, I know they're not professional. I know they're not even semi-pro. They're completely amateur. Are people from the outside coming just to watch, or is it just family and friends for the most part that make up the audience?
So Dumfries and Galloway Council actually done an open invite to all the local schools to help boost the stands. So really? That was good. It gave it more of an atmosphere. Mm-hmm. So the teams are Great Britain, Netherlands, Australia and Spain. So they come with all their team, their family and friends, plus the council boosted it with all the different schools, so they get a decent following and a decent audience to grow the atmosphere.
That is, if I can just go off for a second, genius. It's smart. It gives you an opportunity to develop advertisements because now there's more people in there. It gives the athletes a better feel of what it's like. And now you're introducing a sport to a younger audience.
Yeah.
And so whoever's idea that was, props to them. That's a brilliant idea. Okay, Chloe, I think that's all we need. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
See ya.
So that was our interview with Chloe Young. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you can now take what you heard from Chloe and, like I suggested, going listening to those two episodes, Daniel Imperial and Kayla Francesca, and compare and contrast what you heard with Chloe about the growth in Scotland and the UK when it comes to hockey with what Danielle said, specifically Danielle said about the growth of hockey in the Philippines. I think you're going to find that one is definitely on a different level than the other, but some of those factors and things holding it back are very similar. And we can transfer that to other sports in other parts of the world. You know, some sports are really successful in one country and they're not successful in others. And we really want to break that down. At least I like to, we like to see what it is that's holding it back. Why is it that baseball, it could be really popular in the United States, and yet some other countries do not play baseball? Why is that? Why is that happening? Is there really a reason for it? Is it a lack of understanding? Is it baseball's too expensive? Is it something else? What is it? And, you know, baseball is just an example, but that's that question we like to ask. You know, when you look at hockey in the Philippines, that one seems pretty obvious. Well, people don't want to play hockey. It's so hot there. It doesn't seem to fit the culture of the country. It's a hot country. It's a beach, tropical type country. Hockey doesn't fit there. Okay. I encourage you to go back to Danielle. There's a little bit more to that, but that's definitely part of it. But what else? What else is holding? Think about your sport specifically. What is holding your sport back from wherever you think it should grow? So I'll give you another example. We've done, to use the Philippines for an example, we did an episode talking about beach volleyball with Cassie Gormley. Oh, that is episode. Oh, you caught me off guard. Episode, or I caught myself off guard. Episode 16. Cassie Gormley talks about beach volleyball. It's called episode 16, Cassie Gormley Volleyball in the Philippines. But a lot of what we do is we talk about the beach volleyball. And actually, now that I think about it, we also do that in episode 11 with Z Gervagio. But anyway, the point being, we talk about beach volleyball and we talk about, and we try to get to the answer of this question. The Philippines has 7,000 plus islands. Those islands have beaches, a lot of them. It's a very sandy shore. It's an island. It's an archipelago island nation. And yet beach volleyball for a time has struggled to grow. That doesn't make any sense to me. And it doesn't really make any sense to a lot of other people either. And so sometimes the answer seems simple. And sometimes you go, there is so much potential here. And that's the other point to this, is maybe you don't care about the sport, but maybe you're interested in the business side or some other angle that hasn't been mentioned. That's where this can come into play too. And you go, wait a minute, a country that's loaded with beaches, a country where also indoor volleyball is the second most popular sport in the country. I mean, college volleyball stars are massive celebrities in the Philippines. They have thousands of beaches, and yet beach volleyball isn't there yet. I may not care a whole lot about volleyball, but I sure care about making a smart sports investment. That might be something to look into. That's where you got to look at where things are not successful and say, why is that the case? You might do it because you love and want to see the sport grow, but there's nothing wrong with you looking at it and saying, from a business standpoint, we can make that grow. And there could be some benefits for that. And so I do want to touch on a couple of other things more broad about Globally Ball. Before I do that, I just want to thank Chloe one more time. I remember before we went on, she was nervous that her accent was going to be too thick. I responded. I said, no, your accent is perfect because your accent gives legitimacy to the name Globally Ball. So if any of you are out there and you maybe be a future guest on the show, don't ever worry about the accent. I love it because it adds legitimacy to our name, because if they all sound like me, then it doesn't really feel like a company that's focused on sports around the world. So no problem there. Great interview. Thank you, Chloe, for your time. We really appreciate it. Now, a couple of things. If you've been following up with Globally Ballin, you've noticed that we have made some changes at growth changes in the past, I want to point you to those new things for a couple minutes here. So first, you can go to the website, www.globallyballin.com. When you go there, there's really three main areas that Globally Ballin works on. We have our podcast network. We now have more than one show in our network. We have articles that come out fairly frequently, and we also have video that's out. And so those are really our main three areas. So if you go to the website, that's a great place to start, and you can really start to look into all that, which is fantastic. Social media, always Instagram at Globally Ballin Official, Twitter at Globally Ballin, Facebook.com/Globally Ballin, LinkedIn at Globally Ballin, and Patreon is the other big one I want to touch on real quick. We haven't had a whole lot of time to talk about Patreon. Patreon is up and it's ready, and it has brand new tiers that they're brand new. So they're not the same. So we have several different tiers, and the first three go from ad-free, silver, to gold, and those three will all give you different things. The first one will give you shows ad-free and a shout-out. Silver is ad-free episodes, early releases, plus another show we have on that we don't release to the public unless you're a patron, and that's Candid Conversations, where it's just a different style of show. It's a little more relaxed, and we have different guests. And then the gold has all of that, but it also has video that you wouldn't be able to see otherwise. If you follow us on Instagram, you may see a couple of the videos we put up, and some of them say they're on Patreon. That's where you'll find them, is under the gold tier. Now, these last three tiers I got to talk about real quick, too. We have two of these. We have a player promotion and a team promotion. These are really exciting. We're really happy with this. What we have found, specifically, let's talk player promotion for a second. What we have found is that a lot of our listeners are players that need to get footage out. They need people to at least give them a chance and look at what they can do. So we have started a tier on Patreon called player promotion, where if you sign up for player promotion, you'll receive a shout out once a month on one of our different platforms, including maybe a podcast, maybe an article, or maybe a video. And in that shout out, we'll show everybody or tell everybody where they can find maybe your social media, maybe your highlight reel, whatever. Because we know that in this world of trying to play sports around the world, in this business, you need exposure is huge. And so that's why we opened that up. So that's the player promotion. And you will continue to get one of those shout outs once a month. Continually, as long as you're a patron under that tier, you will continue to get that exposure. And the next one that I really want to talk about real quick is the team promotion. It's the same type of thing. It's a tier for anybody who owns a team, or maybe even a small league or a big league, I don't care. But it's the same type of thing. Once a month, you'll get a shout out on one of our platforms to introduce you as a team or you as a league, because we know that starting leagues, starting teams, people need to know who you are, or anything that helps is important. And so that's why we started this tier, to help you promote who you are as a team, where you are, your schedule, your upcoming events, all that good stuff is all available in the team promotion tier on Patreon. I thank you for sitting with me through that. I think it's important. I think it's important to explain everything that we offer. Again, all of this can be found on the website. So go to www.globallyballin.com, click around, check everything. Tell us what you think. Everything should be up there. Everything should be up to date, almost always. So go check the website, check everything out, and explore. Have fun, and you'll hear back from us again next week. Thank you. Hey everybody, thank you again for getting through another episode. We really appreciate it. I just want to quick redirect you to where you can find us one more time to kind of close out this whole episode. You can find us at facebook.com/globallyballin, Twitter at globallyballin, Instagram at globallyballinofficial. The name was taken. And patreon.com/globallyballin. Again, what you can find there is all of these episodes, music-free, as well as ad-free, and a bunch of other tiers that offer you a lot of other stuff. There is a ton of content available for you that you are not getting here that's out there on the Patreon page. So if you want to check that out, that would be great. And then, of course, again, if you like the show, we would really appreciate a rating and a review wherever you listen. I know I normally suggest Apple Podcasts, but if there's a way, you know, if you listen to it somewhere else and there's a way to rate it, that would be great as well. But any of that is very, very helpful and very much appreciated. It does take a lot of work putting these things together and editing them up and making it all mesh together and getting our interviews lined up and all this. So it takes a lot, but we really believe in it, and we encourage you, if you believe in it too, doing one of those things to help us out would be fantastic. Otherwise, simply you listening to our episodes coming out is a huge blessing to us. So thank you very much for supporting the show, and you'll get an episode from us here in the coming days.